The party's over now. The dawn is drawing very nigh. Let's creep away from the day and allow me to say goodbye.
This is Natal, and you are listening to 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio.
Do you like art, Natalie?
Yes.
Do you love art?
Yeah!
This is Maria Vasquez Boyd, and you are listening to 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. Welcome to ArtSpeak Radio on 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. I'm Maria Vasquez Boyd with you every Wednesday, noon to 1. And so I'm happy that you've tuned in or listening to us online at kkfi.org. So this session of ArtSpeak Radio, it's going to be really a fascinating one. I hope you'll be as excited as I am to hear what my guests have to say. And my guests today are Michael Baxley, who is the director of Inglewood Arts, also Monty Shore, the executive director of Inglewood Arts, Christina Leakey, president and CEO of Truman Heritage Habitat for Humanity. Also with us is Teresa Cosgrove, an independence artist, community activist, committee member with the Inglewood Arts. So, yeah, we're going to hear all about Inglewood Arts, which is a new and innovative organization focused on creating a diverse and sustainable community in harmony with the arts. Their ultimate goal is to provide much-needed, affordable, and sustainable workspace, housing, and cultural and be culturally diverse, community-based arts programming. Vibrant with activity and creativity, the Inglewood Arts District will showcase the visual arts, performing arts, and culinary arts while providing enrichment opportunities for the local and regional community. Inglewood Arts will become a distinct destination spot that will also complement the historic and revitalized Independence Square. So welcome, my guests.
Thank you.
Very good. You know, it's very exciting to hear about this initiative, this innovative organization. And we're going to speak first with Michael Baxley, who's the director of Inglewood Arts. So welcome back, Michael.
Thanks, Maria. You did a great job introducing that. That was a mouthful, so great job.
Oh, no.
I think you hit all the key points there. So.
Well, you know, it's just important to have that background information because people may not know what the Inglewood Arts District is about and what you're all trying to do. So tell us a little bit more, give us a little bit more information, and if you would, give us like the parameters where it's located.
Sure. Yeah, and actually to best understand Inglewood Arts is to understand Inglewood, the Inglewood neighborhood, mm-hmm. A little bit of history. So I'm just going to go real briefly to talk about how did Inglewood come to be. And if we go back to the earlier parts of Kansas City, there used to be a trolley line that would run from downtown to Western Independence, mm-hmm. which was Inglewood. And so from that trolley line, people would ride from the neighborhood down to Kansas City and go to work, and then after work come back out to Inglewood, and that's where they lived and played and grew up. So a lot of people that have been here for many years will remember that. But, it, you know, I think in the 60s, late 60s, early 70s, that trolley line was taken out. And so some of the great things in that neighborhood got a little disjointed from the rest of Kansas City. So what we're talking about is a distinct neighborhood just 15 minutes from downtown Kansas City. And it's what we would call Western Independence. And it's there's a lot of history there. There's a great community. We have a cafe, an old theater, and prominently a three-story medical building that we're developing into an arts center, a community-based arts center.
You know, it's really sort of a blast from the past with sort of the streets, with the shops lined on the streets and ample parking and all that, but there's also the Puppetry Arts Institute there. But it's thriving, but the plans call for something much bigger, right?
That's right. And so what's happened is, you know, with the trolley line taken out, the neighborhood has had a little bit of disjointness, and it's had a little bit of a decline. And the wonderful people of that community want to bring it back, and they want to, but at the same time, preserve what's great about Inglewood. So I came to it, and I had that kind of same experience. I came to Inglewood, and I saw this old Main Street USA, as we call it, and I got just really smitten with the whole area. And then I would walk down the street and talk to the people, and it's a real diverse group of individuals that are very warm and friendly. They're interested in arts. They recognize that arts are important to their lives, and they would like to see more of it. And they understand that arts can be helpful to be the catalyst to revitalize the area. So, several years ago, and I think Monty can kind of speak to this too, a grassroots group of people got together and said, we need to bring change. How do we do this? And so they formed kind of a neighborhood committee, and they started going through and looking at what can we do to this area. And they really saw that arts was something that is powerful. It's a really powerful tool for development, and they wanted to not just create opportunities for the artists, but put them side by side with the community and help bring everybody up together. So, they've done through the years is they've gone through and worked on the zoning. They've identified buildings that can be used for art spaces, and most recently, just last year, formed a nonprofit called Inglewood Arts. And that nonprofit is two-pronged. It deals with a community-based art center that will provide workspace and classes for artists, residents, and community members. But also there's a housing component. So I think of this more as a holistic approach right. to the arts, and I think that's what makes this project so unique is we're not you talk about arts and you talk about the needs of the community. And a lot of artists specifically will say, well, I'm looking for affordable art space. That's great, but if I move here from out of town or if I'm a graduate from Alfred University, I really want to come to your residency program, but where do I live? A lot of times there's a question mark. There's a lot of places to live in Kansas City, but isn't it nice if there's a unique community that's embracing the arts that gives a place for people to live and work right there in the same community? And then make it sustainable, make it where they can stay and they don't get pushed out through gentrification.
You know, and to be in the bottom step of this all happening, it's also wonderful to see it as it flourishes, as it grows, and you know, people really embrace what will take place there.
So. Yeah, well, and it's exciting. You know, you walk down the street, and even folks that, you know, I've had people tell me, you know, I don't know that much about art, but I love it, and I want to learn more. And if you guys are going to do classes, I want to come and be involved in that. And so there's a great interest there. There's also, there's a great need, too. The community, there hasn't been a new build in that area in 49 years. There's been one new build. So the housing is taking a little bit of a decline. They'd like to see more people come and spruce up the area and build on what's already great. I will say that they've done a great job There's a Third Friday Art Walk, so every Third Friday they're currently doing an art walk. You know, even in December, January, they had sleigh rides and people out, and I thought, oh, wow, this is exciting. It's freezing out, and everybody just puts on a coat and goes and has fun. So they're already doing some great work, and this is just a way to kind of elevate that and then bring some more players into the area and give opportunities for artists, educators, and other community-minded people that want to be part of something that's long-term, that's affordable, sustainable, and engaging in the arts.
You know, Michael, as you're talking, if you would share with us the website for our listeners so that maybe they can find out more information as we're talking or see some of the conceptual drawings or really kind of see the plan.
Sure, yeah, and if you can really drill down more, it's inglewoodarts.art, so inglewoodarts with an S dot A-R-T. And that you can find out more information there for sure. What I'll jump into real quick is we're doing this in different phases. Mm-hmm. I'm going to drill down just a little bit on the new Arts Center building, and then I'd like to turn it over to Monty Short, who's really he's been one of the visionaries, and he's been part of assembling that grassroots group. And then, you know, he's really taking off with the housing. And I think Christina Leakey with Habitat can talk about that, too, and why Habitat's here today, too, to talk about housing. So so the first step is we've just recently acquired a three-story medical building on East Winter Road. It's a former medical building, but it's been demoed inside, so it's just wide open spaces. And so for a lot of artists, when they look at the space and they see large, wide open spaces, their imaginations start to run wild of what can we do in this space? It becomes a creative space.
And if I'm not mistaken, there's windows all the way around the building, so
yeah.
It's not like you're closed off on one side, on the west side or whatever.
That's right. There's lots of light, wide open, well-lit spaces. And the cool thing is it's the same floor plan throughout. So you've got three stories but a basement too, and it's all just wide open spaces. So what we've been doing is we're listening to the community and kind of interacting with artists and kind of having our ear to the ground of what we have to have some kind of initial programming. We understand it's a flexible space, and we want to be able to respond to the community's needs and the artists' needs. And artists are going to come up with awesome ideas. And so we want to have a space that they can come in and we can accommodate. You have this exciting idea. We have a center that can accommodate that. But we have to have some initial programming to get it started. So what we've identified through listening to the community, the arts community, the region, is that there's a great need in visual arts, performing arts, and culinary arts. And so we are initiating a culinary residency program. There's this really great commercial kitchen that's a nonprofit in Independence called the Innovation Center. And you can go and create culinary creations there. But there's no retail component. We can't go and eat there. So what we want to do with partnership with the Innovation Center is have a innovation cafe. And now we have a teaching kitchen, and then the public can kind of come in and interact with those culinary artists. And it's a structured program where the residents will then kind of go through this process. And so that's the culinary part. The visual arts, we want to have glass blowing, wood, murals, painting, and neon. There's a lot of neon artists in Independence. I was blown away to learn that neon is this exciting art that kind of has been up and down through the years, but is starting to really make a comeback. And Alfred University in New York just started a new program that specializes in neon. So I think having a neon studio will be really attractive to graduates from Alfred, but all over the country, artists that want to incorporate that into their lives. But also then it puts something into place for revitalizing the area too. There's a lot of neon in Inglewood, the historic Ben Franklin Five and Dime, the theater. And so now we can do some really cool neon stuff.
And I think it also creates a kind of a niche for that artistry too. Where can you go for neon arts, Inglewood?
That's right.
You know,
that's right.
So that makes it a really smart move.
Kansas City is rich with art. There are other art centers in Kansas City, and they're doing wonderful things. We're not here to replicate. We're trying to fill those voids. And so that's where we see, neon is another area, glass blowing. There's not a large community glass blowing facility. And the feedback we've been getting is gosh, if somebody built this, we would get engaged. And other types of artists, painters and other artists, I think Teresa can talk about that too, about if there were a neon studio or woodworking studio and mural and culinary even, how are those going to interact and how will those artists all work together and collaborate? I think collaboration is a big thing in the arts these days, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, and I love the fact that glass blowing, I mean, this arts district is just ripe for something like that because, again, there's nothing else that I am aware of locally here in Kansas City. And you can kind of decide what this arts district wants to be based on what you're hearing from the input.
So, right. And ultimately, we want it to be flexible. I do need to give a shout out to Tyler Kimball at Monarch Glass. He's been instrumental in helping us navigate. So there is glass in Kansas City. There is a great community. Okay. But I'm talking about a larger, very open community, one that is just that wants to embrace and do a residency program and kind of expand on what Tyler's really been working on in Kansas City. So I do definitely want to say hello to Tyler and make him aware that we're grateful for all the work he's been putting in. But, you know, we ultimately, as these programs run, we're going to get feedback and we want to be adaptive. So these are just initial programs and we foresee lots of other types of programming, fiber, and we're getting asked a lot. So it's basically 30,000 square feet. What do you put in that building? And we're putting in this initial programming to inspire artists to want to get engaged. And then we're going to let them tell us what they want to see from there. So
are you looking at other, again, collaborations or partnerships with local universities like the Kansas City Art Institute,
right.
or
that's a very great question.
Something?
Yeah, and actually, that was something I wanted to touch on is because it is community based. We have several partners already that we've partnered with, and as we speak, the kids at the Independent School District are making a mural for the outside of the building. So they have this
perfect.
Wonderful Pathways program. And so they're trying to prepare their high school students for college. And they even have a program where you can get a two-year degree, get your associates before you graduate high school. So, you know, obviously we want to start closest to those, to the project. So Independent School was one of the first, Habitat for Humanity, and then Hope House. There's a Hope House in Inglewood. Of the there's 64 beds in there, and half of those are children. So now what we want to do is get those kids out of the shelter, over to the Art Center, put them side by side with professional artists like Teresa, who's already doing this kind of work in Inglewood, and I want her to talk about that in a minute. But get those kids out, and we're putting community and artists together. We're giving opportunities for artists to come, live, work, and play, but then we're also giving opportunities for community to get involved and learn about the arts, get engaged with the arts.
I love it.
It's a universal language. You know, arts transcends religion. It transcends politics. In this year, you know, I think we all need to come together on something other than politics. So art transcends
that. You're right.
That.
You're very right there.
Yeah, and we can sit down and work on something together, and it doesn't matter what our backgrounds are. So art, and I think this community has done a great job of understanding, you know, hey, art is a universal language, and we can use this. So, you know, those are just some of the partners. We have a lot, and I don't want to unfortunately, we don't have time to go down the whole list. And I would like to throw it over to Monty a little bit to talk about the housing
but
part.
But before
too.
We do that, we're going to take a real quick break. We've got some underwriting to air, and then we'll be right back with Artspeak Radio.
Awesome. Thanks. Mm-hmm.
Support for KKFI provided by the Carlson Center at Johnson County Community College, presenting Kanopolis, A Moving Portrait, A Glimpse of a Bygone Vision of America. The Jenny Scheinman Trio performs an original score of folk and field sounds over H. Lee Waters' 1930s film vignettes, movies of local people going about their lives. Friday, March 6th at 8 p.m. in the Polsky Theater. Details online at jccc.edu/Carlson Center.
The federal government is investigating TEH Realty, but it's the organized KC tenants who expose the foreign company and its infested apartments. Hear the story this week on the Heartland Labor Forum. Then, the Kansas legislature is cooking up some bad bills for workers. We'll talk to two labor activists who are fighting back. Tune in Thursday at 6 p.m., rebroadcast Friday, 5 a.m.
This is Maria Vasquez-Boyd, and you're tuned into ArtSpeak Radio. Today, my guests are Michael Baxley, Director of Inglewood Arts, Monty Short, Executive Director, Inglewood Arts, Christina Leakey, President and CEO, Truman Heritage Habitat for Humanity, and Teresa Cosgrove, an independence artist, community activist, community committee member of the Inglewood Arts. So welcome back. Thanks so much for being here today. This is such an exciting program that I want to hear what you were finished off with last, Michael?
I realized, and actually Teresa did a great job of keeping me on track here. I had a lot of coffee this morning, so bear with me.
You and me both.
So the third prong was the performing arts. And so we talked about the visual arts and some of the culinary. The performing is a big thing. There's a lot of wonderful performing arts, artists in Independence that are doing fashion shows, spoken word poetry, music, folk. And so we want to have a community stage within the Arts Center that we can embrace that and ultimately expand that into other phases that include an outdoor venue that we're really excited about too. So the first goal is to get this Arts Center going, and then we want to expand the arts from there. So the performing arts will be a big part of this as well. And we've had a partnership with a wonderful organization in Independence called the West End Connection, and they're helping us with curating a lot of that programming and finding that talent that's in Independence. A lot of artists are there and doing wonderful things, and Weston's really good about bringing those artists into the light and saying, hey, you know, look at what's happening in Independence. So I have to also acknowledge what a great job West End Connection's doing as well.
Great.
So I would like to give time for Monty to talk about
please.
The housing part, because that's, you know, that's the other arm. You've got a left and a right arm, and this is a big one.
And I think people are very excited to learn about that housing portion of it, because, you know, it's great to have a studio space, but you also want some living space. So, yeah, take it away, Monty.
Well, thank you, Maria, for having us here. I can kind of go into a little bit of the history of where we started with this. About 7 years ago, we did arts zoning within the Inglewood area, just the commercial part, and that art zoning is already in place now. But we really wanted to bring in the neighborhood and the homes in the neighborhood. And so we're in the midst of doing it's called an overlay district. And so it's a type of zoning that overlays the existing zonings. It doesn't change those zonings, but it will overlay it, and it will allow for some unique things to be done in that distinct area. So one of the things it does is that you can have a business, an artist-related business within your own home, so you can create art in your home. You can sell art in your home. And it's not going to be a hassle. The overlay allows for it. You would have to get a business license. But the area is full of affordable homes. The area is not got a lot of large homes. It's really kind of starter homes. Mm-hmm. So, and they're reasonably priced. So what we want to do is have it to where just the market, you can go and buy a home and that hopefully the artist can live there. And really, anybody can live there. But
and they're really lovely, walkable neighborhoods, too. It's
yes.
not as though you have to cross a really busy main street or get on the highway and go here. It is a very walkable, friendly.
Yes, actually, Inglewood itself and the surrounding areas, we just got through finishing putting in new sidewalks, which wider sidewalks, and it is more walkable. And Inglewood has a kind of a unique thing. It has parking in the middle, kind of something you'll probably never see. It's kind of, it takes you back in time just because.
Yeah, it does, very much so.
Yeah, so it's unique that, you know, all the shops and everything, but the parking is in the middle of those shops. So whenever you visit there, it takes you back in time immediately just by the way it looks. But back to the housing, basically with the overlay district, we're hoping that we will create hope for the area. It will be a defined area. and it will have a few thousand homes in it, so it will be a fairly large area. And what we're hoping is that the, not only the artists will have a place to come and buy a home, but we also want to bring up the people that live there. We don't want to kick anybody out or anything like that. So
because gentrification has happened throughout the city and all that, so that's very smart.
Yeah, one of the things that occurs when artists move in, whether it's in their studio space or in their living space, they make the area cool, and then they get kicked out, basically, or they get priced out. So, and what our thought is to acquire some, like this three-story building, acquire it now and hold it in a nonprofit so it can stay affordable. The homes, what we want to do is to do the zoning so that people can do their own thing, kind of fun.
Uh-huh.
Artists are very creative. It also allows for private and public art, an easier way to get that put in. It's also going to allow for another studio space or a live studio space to be built on any property within the area. But it will be more like a tiny home.
Right now,
the code is that you have to build 900 square feet and larger. This is 900 square feet and smaller, all the way down to 120 square feet. So we feel as though that it will increase density. Obviously, you can build a smaller home cheaper than you can build a larger home. So we're thinking that hopefully this will spur on people to build smaller units. And the artist or anybody can move in. The ADUs are not just for artists, but it's for really anybody. It's also used a lot on the West Coast and really anywhere for aging in place. A lot of people live in a larger home. They don't want a larger home anymore. They rent out the larger home and they build a granny flat. There's a lot of names for an ADU. Mm-hmm. And an ADU is actually a dwelling unit. So, what we're hoping is that just doing some cool things with zoning just given a defined area, hopefully that will spur on new hope and bring pride to the area and for the residents that live there.
I love that. I love that. If you just tuned in to Art Speak Radio, I am Maria Vasquez Boyd, and I'm talking to members of the wonderful Inglewood Arts District, and we're talking about developing this community of arts district for not only artists, but for everyone in the community. So, we're going to take a real quick break. I've got a couple of things I need to air, and then we'll be right back with Art Speak Radio.
Hi, I'm Russ Simmons.
And I'm Susan Sanders.
And this is Take Two, two takes at a movie currently playing in the Kansas City area. And today the topic is an adaptation of the classic adventure novel by Jack London, and it's called The Call of the Wild.
This is a rousing adventure film showing the relationship between a lonely man and his dog, but it's really the backstory of what happened in the origin of the dog, Buck.
It's set in the Yukon during the Gold Rush days, and this is at least the ninth film adaptation of Jack London's story, and most of the rest of them, I have to say, are better. Unfortunately, this movie uses computer-generated technology to create the dog as well as most of the background, and so instead of it being a celebration of the natural world, it is very artificial.
It does have that Hallmark Channel quality, but if you can suspend disbelief and go with it, I found it to be really more of a surprisingly entertaining film.
I liked Harrison Ford. I thought the attachment that he had to the dog seemed believable. However, this is for purists.
Yes.
Probably something that they're going to be very irritated by,
yes,
because this story takes a lot of liberties with Jack London's story.
That's true. But I still enjoyed it. And there was a couple there with their dog. They were able to convince the people to let, and it wasn't a service dog.
Well, I can't imagine that the dogs will enjoy it any more than I did.
Well, anyway.
It's sweet-natured, but I thought just ill-advised.
And I'll go with that.
All right.
All right. It's interesting to note that the computer-generated dog was based on an actual rescue dog out in Olathe, Kansas.
I'm Russ Simmons.
And I'm Susan Sanders.
And this is Take Two.
This is Maria Vasquez Boyd, Art Speak Radio, with you right now, happening with Michael Baxley, Monty Short, Christina Leakey, and Teresa Cosgrove. We're talking about the Inglewoods Arts District. So very excited to have you aboard with us today, everyone. So thank you.
Thank you.
You bet. Thank you. Yeah. So we were talking about the Inglewood Arts and being a new and innovative organization focused on creating a diverse and sustainable community in harmony with the arts. Now, the Inglewood Arts District pretty much is located at 10901 East Winter Road, Independence, Missouri. Inglewoodarts.art is the website for more information. If you want, you can follow along, see some of the conceptual drawings, really kind of get a sense of what is taking place currently and what is yet to be. Right?
That's right. Yeah, that's right. Thanks, Marie. Mm-hmm. And during the break, you mentioned that you had a studio in Inglewood at one point.
You know, I did, and it was terrific because it was right across from the Inglewood Theater, which was still in operation at that time, and next door was the Five and Dime. So my studio was what was the old Dennis office, and so I had my private restroom and upstairs, and it was great to collaborate and work with other artists there as I would invite them in and paint, and it was affordable. Parking was never a problem, but it was just really a wonderful, magical time, to be able to create in a space that's just, two minutes away from my house. So
That's fantastic.
And affordable.
Well, and Garth Brooks' first paid concert was at the Inglewood Theater. Loretta Lynn, Chubby Checkers performed there. And a lot of people don't know. They know about the Walt Disney Laugh-O-Gram Studios.
Right.
But actually, Walt Disney's first job in animation was at the Cogger Studios, which was in Inglewood as well. So actually, Walt's true first job was in Inglewood, and then he broke out of working for Cogger Studios and opened up Laugh-O-Gram, and then ultimately went out to Los Angeles. So, there's a lot of history in Inglewood that's pretty fascinating. And
I love that.
Not just famous artists like yourself, but other.
No, I did not know. The Cogger Studio?
Scott Cogger is a property owner, the business owner there.
And I rented from his father, Ted.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah,
and so,
back in the day.
Well, they have the Coggers have been in Inglewood for obviously a very long period of time, and they have a gallery space there as well, so in studio space currently. So there's things happening in Inglewood. And
I love that happens, that passion, that commitment to your community, translates to wanting others to take part of that and opening up opportunities for others.
Yeah,
in
absolutely.
This way. So,
and actually, I wanted Christina to with Habitat to talk about what Habitat's doing, and it's really exciting. We're partnering with Habitat, and they're bringing a whole nother aspect to the table that I think, again, that I talk about that holistic approach. The housing is such a big component, and it seems like the artists also want to have. Know that there's some place for them to live, not just work. So maybe Christina could talk about that.
And I think it's fascinating to learn about this renovated and repurposed building. So, and that's going to be with Habitat?
Not the building, on the housing side.
On the housing.
So, yeah,
okay.
We've got two arms, and so I kind of covered the, the art center part. But I think Christina can talk about the housing side, and her and Monty have really been putting in a lot of time of developing this housing plan. So
beautiful.
Maybe great for them to talk about that.
Sure. Thank you, Michael and Maria. So Truman Heritage Habitat has actually a longstanding history as a community housing development organization in this community. We serve Eastern Jackson County, but Independence has been a significant focus for us, and particularly Northwest Independence, where Inglewood is located. And so we are actually have been functioning as a housing provider and a community development organization for a long time. In fact, we're celebrating our 30th anniversary this year. But what we haven't had that the Inglewood Arts Initiative offers is really the opportunity to work with community partners that are focused on creating areas of opportunity and choice for the families that we serve. So most people who are familiar with Habitat think of us as that group that brings volunteers out to build homes, and typically that's kind of a scattered site approach, but what we know to be more important and a better strategy for building community is for Habitat to come alongside other community organizations and interests that are really working together to build not just houses, but build neighborhoods of choice and opportunity. And that's what's so exciting about seeing what Inglewood Arts has to offer this area is when we help people build and sustain homes in these neighborhoods, they're actually getting an opportunity to be part of something much bigger than just the place where the house that they live in. So our programming is actually already in place, and we're going to be able to just kind of conveniently slide in as a helpful partner, we hope, to what Inglewood has in mind for creating not just affordable housing, but again, housing where the artists can live and work in their homes. Something that Habitat really fits nicely with the Habitat model, to be able to not only help someone have a homeownership opportunity, but for that to be their workplace opportunity as well. And that helps meet the objective of affordability and sustainability, but also, again, just gives that homeowner to be part of something bigger than themselves.
And when you talk about the artist and the homeowner too, that also extends to with families, artist with families or other.
And typically, Habitat has been an organization that primarily serves families with children, although we certainly have opportunities to serve individuals and even couples without children. Family has been the focus. Mm-hmm. And so the idea that we would be creating housing opportunities for artist families and also helping the families that live in this neighborhood already, and I'm really encouraged by what Michael has in Inglewood Arts is about, helping the families that already are there stay there, and make sure that in investing in the arts district concept, we're not pricing people out of the area that they call home currently. So as we look at bringing housing programs to this area that will support the Inglewood Arts investment, we want to look at ways that we can help the families that currently live there own their homes, but maybe will struggle with sustaining them without the assistance of organizations like Habitat. It's neat that Habitat has evolved into an organization that does more than just build new homes. We actually have a variety of programs that are designed to help families improve the homes they have. So we have a weatherization program, we have a critical home repair program, we have just a one of our newest programs is an aging in place initiative that's really is focused on helping aging homeowners adapt that home and make sure that they will be able to remain in place and have the quality of life and the housing choice they desire as long as possible. And all of those programs really will fit nicely to complement what the Inglewood Arts vision has in mind for the neighborhood. So we can just kind of roll those programs into the area and focus them where the Inglewood Arts efforts are planned.
Now, is this information a part of the website of the Inglewood Arts website, or is it a link to Humanity for TrumanHabitat.org?
The Inglewood Arts website's a great place to start to learn about the housing, and then in connecting with us, then we can connect them to Habitat, or they can go directly to Habitat's website. Mm-hmm. Either way, We're in partnership, so it's you can kind of come at it whichever direction. I think a lot of people that are familiar with Habitat will go to the Habitat website and connect with Christina, thinking, hey, I'm hearing about this this initiative. I want to get involved. But also they can come to the Inglewood Arts website, and it's the same way. We're in partnership, so it doesn't matter which way you engage. We're going to ultimately connect. We'll both be connecting with those people at the same time.
You know, we're going to take a real quick break. I've got some more underwriting to air, and we'll be right back.
Thank you.
Support for KKFI provided by the Kauffman Center for the Performing Arts, presenting organist Cameron Carpenter, performing live in Hellsburg Hall and underscore to Buster Keaton's silent film comedy, The General, inspired by the great locomotive train chase of the American Civil War, Wednesday, March 4th. That's Cameron Carpenter at the Kauffman Center, Wednesday, March 4th. Tickets and more information available by calling 816-994-7222 or at kauffmancenter.org.
Support for KKFI provided by the Carlson Center at Johnson County Community College, presenting Dunoon, a St. Patrick's celebration, performing a mix of ancient Irish music and modern-day repertoire, flute, tin whistle, button accordion, bouzouki, and vocals, Saturday, March 7th at 8 p.m. in Yardley Hall. Details at jccc.edu/Carlson Center.
And we're back. This is Art Speak Radio. I'm Maria Vasquez-Boyd. I'm here with Michael Baxley, Monty Short, Christina Leakey, Teresa Cosgrove. We're talking about the Inglewood Arts, which is a new and innovative organization focused on creating a diverse and sustainable community and harmony with the arts. So we're really excited about what's happening, and really there's some great planning going on, right, Michael?
That's right. And I should mention, we're just you. It's so wonderful that you're having us on the show to talk about. We've been really careful of trying to balance keeping the enthusiasm, but at the same time letting people know that we're just getting started. So the nonprofit was officially formed just in August of last year, and I came aboard in October as director. So we're these things are all in development, and we want to get there as quickly as possible, and we're doing it through help with our partners such as Habitat, but we are just getting off the ground. So we want people to get excited. We want them to express interest and get involved and get informed about what we're doing. But at the same time, we're just now getting started. So this is the kind of a first introduction for folks to follow along and learn and see how we grow.
Yeah, I love it. It's really exciting, the possibilities, especially when you hear things like last week when the arts were being cut through Kansas City, Missouri, mm-hmm. and people were really just sort of freaking out about that, as we all were. So it's great to hear news where, you know, the arts are really beginning to take shape and form, and, you know, possibilities are created. So, you know, that I know it's not going to happen tomorrow, but you know, it sounds like you've got some things in place, some members in place, partnerships and collaborations.
Right. And so if someone wanted to learn more and get involved, they would want to go to the website, and you can sign up for the mailing list, and we're going to keep people engaged and informed through our mailing list and through our social media, our Facebook page, Inglewood Arts. And so, and same with Instagram. So that's a great way to.
And would they also be able to maybe tour some of the spaces there, the existing spaces, storefronts, or is that something separate?
Well, and that's it. If you come to the Third Friday Art Walk, you'll get it. That's probably the best way to get a taste of what's going on, and then understand what's currently in place, and then see the kind of see what we're working on and learn more. So that's another great way to. So there's things happening right now. There are artist studio spaces in Inglewood available. The Art Center, we just purchased the building in February, so we're just starting the renovation. And I should mention that we have a lofty timeline. We would like to get the very first floor of the Art Center open by this fall. Mm-hmm. So that kind of puts things in perspective. If we could get just some activity going, we plan to do it in stages. So if we can get the first stage done by fall, then we consider ourselves champions in that regard.
I like that. You know, Michael, one thing that you did mention was the glass blowing studio, the mm-hmm. neon glass, and that sort of thing. Well, is there room for a maker space, perhaps? Not maybe, just in the arts district itself, maybe not so much the art building.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And actually, you know, there right now in the district, there are two really ideal spaces for artists that could be converted into studio spaces, one that's $80,000 and one that's $120,000 that includes a house. So you'd have a full-service two-car garage commercial space with a house behind it for $120,000. Wow. I mean, that's the type. That's just a sample, but there's a lot of – there's homes that are in the $40,000 or $50,000 range. So we're talking about we're not talking about big prices and a mortgage on that. But I would mention that, you know, something that Habitat's so great in working on is – and maybe Teresa can talk about – educators, artists, community-minded folks, getting mortgages can be a difficult thing. And in this area, banks haven't traditionally given mortgages to homes that are in that. And maybe Monty can talk about that too. You know, getting a mortgage on a home that's $40,000, typically that's an investor-type purchase. And so what Habitat and what Inglewood Arts is trying to do is work with a bank on a pool, a high-risk loan pool, that would be able to give mortgages to artists and educators and first responders, anyone that wants to be part of this community, but be able to give affordable mortgages.
Now, if people are interested in that, would they find information
right back
at
to the website?
Okay.
Ultimately, you know, a lot of Inglewood Arts as a nonprofit is partnering with lots of organizations, and we consider ourselves kind of the conduit that's connecting. So, you know, we envision artists and educators and folks reaching out to us, and then we're, through our partnerships, then directing them into the right resources. And beyond that, then I think maybe Christina can talk about if an artist reaches out to her, an educator, she's has partners as well. And so they have a large toolbox that she can dip in. So we think that ultimately between the toolbox we're building and then some of our partners such as Habitat, their expansive toolbox, so that we can really provide a service for the community in the region.
Well, and I did want to hear from Teresa as the independence artist, as far as how your studio is set up, and what do you find attractive about independence and being in this area?
Okay, well, hi guys. So I am from Independence, and growing up in that area and stuff, I knew of the Inglewood district. I used to go visit the Ben Franklin with my parents and my mom and peruse, you know, that store, and then walk up and down the street. And it was always kind of a hubbub area there for a little bit and bustling, and I'd always liked the older vibe of it. So with that being said, I'm going to start there and just say that I've always had a love for the area. And people are talking about the exciting things and stuff, and I've always had a longing for things to continue to build up there. And I feel like we've had the Arts District in place for several years now, but it's kind of stalled a little bit. And so it's exciting to see this project happening and the initiative going to bring people in, and also get the people that are already there excited about it, and bring that community back together to really make great things happen for the arts and for the community both. So with that being said, I have my studio at my house currently, but I am looking forward to having my studio in that area. It seems like it's going to be very affordable. And I love the people that are already in that area, and we're able to build upon those relationships and the excitement there to truly make great things happen for artists. So there's that.
You know, and Teresa, if you would share with us your website for our listeners to maybe take a look at your work.
Sure. Would you do that? So it is Teresa Cosgrove Art. .com. So TeresaCosgroveInvictorE.com.
Could you see this area become as big or bigger than, or viable, more viable than the Crossroads or the West Bottoms?
I think it could become big and it could be exciting. I think it will have a different vibe. So I hate to compare it to the Crossroads or the West Bottoms, because it will have its own vibe. I do think there will be a lot of excitement surrounding it. there already is excitement surrounding it. So just building upon that, like we said, we already have businesses there that are truly about the arts, and they live and breathe the arts. You know, there's galleries there already, and maker spaces there already. And I've had the opportunity to show my art there, you know, a couple times, and had an outstanding experience both times. So there are places to utilize already presently, but to continue to build upon that.
I love that. So the Inglewood Arts will become a distinct destination spot, easy for you to say, that will also complement the historic and revitalized Independence Square, which isn't really that far. We only have a few more minutes, so do you want to do a round robin statement from everyone that...
I want to jump in, sorry, this is Teresa again. I wanted to mention, when we were talking about the housing, from an artist perspective, you know, it's wonderful to hear about the affordability, number one, but number two, there's just, it's cute. There's a historical feel to it, and I feel like we haven't, you know, me being visual and stuff, it's fun to walk down the streets and see the different types of homes, and they may be smaller, but they're still historical, and they've got an atmosphere about them. So not only just the Inglewood Boulevard, but the neighborhoods surrounding that boulevard. Sometimes I love just kind of walking the neighborhood or driving up and down and picturing myself in one of those homes, you know, because they are... they're attainable, but they also have a great personality.
So. And I think it's important to note, too, that the schools are neighborhood schools. So, you know, if that's something that you're looking for as an artist and a homeowner, you know, that's a real perk to that.
Definitely.
The schools are off the charts. By the way, the stats are incredible. 96.5% graduation rate, 45% diversity, pathways programs. The schools are fantastic. The zoning's being put in place to allow artists to do creative things. So the timing's right. The City of Independence has been very supportive in what we're doing. The artists are supportive. The community's excited. Our partners, such as Habitat, you know, want to get involved. It just feels like the time is right and the need is there. And so we see big things for the future of Inglewood Arts.
Very good. And Monty?
Yeah, I you know, it's just a very exciting time. I've been there for quite some time, and I've not seen this much energy. And I think it's just in the making. It's just starting. And it is going to be a completely different vibe than the Crossroads or the West Bottoms. We don't have the square footage, large square footage buildings like they have. And so this is more of a neighborhood. And we want to keep it the neighborhood. We just want to bring the community back together with an artist flair to it.
Beautiful.
I think what I've heard is kind of just a resounding theme this last few minutes is this conversation about energy and community and what that really all boils down to, and what I think is telling us it's the right time is it means that people are making connections, they're building relationship, and that ultimately is what is required to see a community rebirth. And I'm just excited from the Habitat for Humanity perspective, because what we are about is bringing people together to build community, to build hope through housing. I mean, that's the vehicle that we do it through, but ultimately we're about building hope in a community that for many years was disconnected, where relationships were non-existent, where neighbors weren't talking to neighbors, people weren't walking the streets, the schools were not considered off the charts, and just the momentum that we've seen in the last 10 or 15 years to the positive is it's just exciting. It's inspiring. So glad that Habitat could be a part of helping bring people together in Inglewood Arts and continue building on that.
And I think it's important to mention also the community surrounding Inglewood, they're hungry for the arts. And they've made that clear in the different events we've held and I've participated in, just seeing the outpouring of people that are not artists, but they really enjoy art, and they want to experience that art, play with that art, or purchase some, you know, original art. It really is there, and it's fun to see that. You know, for me being from Independence, I was kind of pleasantly surprised. I did not realize the community was so so excited about art in all the areas we've talked about. So it's been really fun to see that coming out of the community too, and wanting to be involved in some way. So even if you're not an artist, we do invite you to be involved and check out the websites we've mentioned and play a part of this. So
beautiful. And that's Inglewood Arts District at 10901 East Winter Road, Independence, Missouri. Inglewoodarts.art is the website for more information. Everything that we've talked about here, you can find more information about it on the website. And does it also offer upcoming events or other sort of presentations?
It does. And as we get down that road, we'll be obviously posting about that and through our social media too. But I would ideally, a person would want to get on the mailing list through the website. That's the first thing you see when you approach, is to join our mailing list, and that's how you're going to get the most up-to-date information.
Beautiful. Great. Thank you so much, Michael Bexley.
Oh, gosh, thank you, guy. Thank you.
Monty Short,
thank
Christina
you.
Leakey,
thank
and
you,
Teresa Cosgrove.
Thank
yes.
You.
You know, I hope to invite you back anytime something develops, or you have an announcement to make, or when you just open the first floor.
That would be fantastic. It's going to be a big party.
Very good. Thanks so much. And I want to also invite you to stay tuned next for Jeff Harshbarger, Jazz Afternoon. He's got some terrific, juicy jazz he wants to serve up for you. Next week, March 11th, we have Tori Johnson, Patty Reese, and Jane Booth. They'll all be here in the studio live, so join us. And I'm going to mention that this podcast of this show, of this program, is available at kkfi.org. On Friday, we have a partnership with One Kansas City Radio at 100.1, and you can hear this rebroadcast of this program on Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. So thanks so much, everyone, for listening, and honey, I'm coming home.